This is the Chasing Tomorrow podcast with Joe Gagnon. We bring you captivating conversations that will inspire all of us to go after our own version of a high-performance life. Hi, I'm Joe.
And I'm Dave.
And we're the hosts of the Chasing Tomorrow podcast, where we bring you stories that delve into the science and spirit behind intriguing people doing extraordinary things. Welcome to the Chasing Tomorrow podcast, episode 106. This might be one of the most magical episodes we'll ever record. We have Pete Kostelnik, U.S. Transcon record holder. He's going to be our guest host for the day. I've been hoping we could get Pete and Dave together. If you think about magical moments as Dave sort of powers through probably one of the hardest endurance activities ever, sort of maybe two-thirds of the way through, he's still got some ways to go. But I think that listening to him and Pete talk about what it takes to get through this and getting a glimpse into two of the best multi-day runners in the world on one podcast is just so special that I'm just going to enjoy listening. And so first, hello to you, Dave. How are you feeling?
Hey, Joe. I'm feeling good. I'm on day 54 today, and I'm just going to be coming up to Swift Current, Saskatchewan. Most people don't know where that is. And it's a small town in Saskatchewan, and I'm feeling good. I'm feeling fitter week by week.
So, Dave, 56, how many more days? 13 more days?
Go. Yeah, I think I've got about 13 more days.
Wow.
13 more days to run.
That's doable.
When I first started, it didn't sound doable, but it's funny. Every day is one day closer, and I'm sure, Pete, I'm sure we're going to talk about this and how you kind of inch a little bit closer and a little bit closer, and what once seemed kind of impossible or unachievable is now seeming relatively achievable.
Wow. Well, with that, I'm going to introduce Pete. Pete's been on the show before, one of our best buddies here, living down in Phoenix, Arizona. We got him up early, I thought, 6 a.m. start to do the recording, except he had already gone out running already. So I guess in the Phoenix heat, that's a good idea. Hey, Pete, welcome. I'm going to be very excited to turn this over and you and Dave have a conversation. I'll jump in from time to time, but thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. You know, Dave, I'm so excited to be here, man. You're the only person to get me up at 3:40 in the morning to go for a run and then get on and talk to you guys. So kudos to you for getting me out of bed this morning.
Oh, God. No, thank you so much, Pete. I'm normally the host of this show alongside Joe. And just to give our audience a background about yourself, Pete's the track speed record holder, San Francisco to New York City in a blisteringly fast time, and also ran unsupported key to key. That's Alaska down to Florida, pushing a baby stroller with all of his items. And so for myself personally, I'm running and averaging 106 kilometers a day on day 54 now. And I've always been told that you don't want to ever meet your heroes. Well, I'm talking to my hero right now. And it's gonna lift me up for the next 13 days. So thanks a lot, Pete, for talking to me here today.
Well, thanks, Dave. You're too kind, man. So let's talk about where you are right now this morning. So you're in Saskatchewan, Canada. So you've run across Newfoundland. You've run across. Mm-hmm. Actually, how about you just list them off?
Yeah, you bet. So Newfoundland in 9 days, and then Nova Scotia in 4, New Brunswick in I think it was 5 or so, then Quebec. Ontario, it took me 20 days to run across just the monster province of Ontario. There were days where I wasn't running west, I was running north for 500 kilometers for 5 days to get around Lake Superior. I mean, just the gigantic nature of this country is enormous. And then I got into Manitoba. That only took me 4.5 days to run across. And that's when things flattened out into the Canadian prairies. And then I came into Saskatchewan, and I think end of day tomorrow, I'll be out of Saskatchewan and into my home province of Alberta. And it'll take me, I believe, 4.5 to 5 days to run through Alberta. And then, of course, British Columbia all the way to Victoria on Vancouver Island. And that should be right around 7,100 kilometers in total. And yeah, 67 days. I was hoping for 66. And when I was doing the mapping, I quickly realized that between the three of us and all of our guests, when I was doing the mapping across Canada, I did have a couple beers, because doing mapping, it's terrifying. What am I doing? And so you have to kind of numb yourself a little bit, but also numbing myself made me not map too correctly. So I will be ending on the 67th day, but the Trans-Canadian speed record is 72 days and 10 hours. So I've got some room to burn.
That's awesome. That's a good place to be in with that. I mean, if you finish in 67 days, you're going to break. I mean, that's 5 days off. That's a big, we talk a lot about these really long KT attempts and how someone might shave a few hours because it's just agony, but man, that is incredible, right? How you're doing. And just for the listeners, you're doing, I was just doing the math, 700 kilometers. That's almost 4,400 miles, which is 40% further than running across the U.S. So we think a lot about how wide the U.S. is, and we think, oh, well, Canada's about the same width. But man, you're starting all the way out there, halfway to the U.K., out in the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah, Canada kind of goes up a V, right? And so even Newfoundland is 9 days to get across an island. Like, it's a big, big country. And so, yeah, I think that the Transcon, so Transamerica, is a lot more common than running across Canada. But yeah, no, you're right. You're right, Pete. It's enormous. And so maybe one of my questions to you is, like, where you were at, where I'm at right now, let's say 3/4 of the way done. I'm beyond 3/4, but let's call it 3/4 of the way done running across America. How are you feeling? Because then I want to kind of tell you kind of how I'm feeling about where I'm at emotionally, physically. How were you feeling 3/4 of the way through?
Yeah, for me, I was feeling really good. I was fragile though. I'm like mentally, physically, it was tough, obviously, but like, I was so broken in that I was just numb and didn't really feel any pain anymore. But I know I did. And this was when I was starting to get into the more populated areas. So thankfully you're going west and you're probably not dealing with quite as much traffic, but I just remember getting very easily rattled by traffic.
I hear you.
I would end the day, and some days, honestly, I was very, like, when I finished the day, there would be a car that would like pull out in front of me or something, and then like I would almost forget about the fact that I was going for a record, and I remember looking in on, like, if I was running by someone's house through town and I saw the TV on, I was like, gosh, you know, how awesome would it be to go in there and like sit down and just like relax, get off my feet.
No
for
doubt.
A while. And I would pull up my phone at the end of each day. And so I would pull up Google Maps and I would see the little blue dot of where I'm at move like a millimeter from where I was the day before when I opened up the maps. And so that, I just remember that was like, looking at that little blue dot expand and contract, like getting close, the airplane's getting closer to landing, thankfully. So yeah. How about you, Dave? So I guess let's do it first physically. How's everything been feeling? Have you had some injuries that have come and gone? And then we can talk about the mental piece.
Yeah, it's funny. Sometimes you think an injury is going to derail you, and you're like, oh, this knee thing has been bothering me for 7 days. And then it kind of just goes away. And then you got this right ankle thing that's coming on, and oh, it's getting worse every day for the last three days. And paying it all the attention that I can at night when it comes to body care. And then again, it just kind of goes away. I know it's probably not the best thing to tell runners, but like sometimes you can just run through an injury or a pain. And so I feel right now my pace is probably better than it has been ever during the run. I'm waking up in the morning and I'm feeling like, I remember talking to you before about the first minutes or hour, and you're kind of running Frankenstein and you're like, oh, how's this going to work? But yet it kind of just opens up and loosens up. And I kind of feel it's the price of admission to kind of want to have that great big number at the end of the day, and then to compile them all, where you have to kind of, every morning you got to kind of rip all those tissues apart and feel bruised on your feet, and you that in a half an hour, it's going to be okay. So overall, my body is doing remarkably well, which is strange, but yet it's doing better. But yeah, to mirror exactly what you said, Pete, I've struggled a lot in the last week. And I was talking to my psychologist on the phone because about a week and a half to 2 weeks ago, I fell and hit my head. And I found myself extremely irritable and angry and frustrated with little things. But I wonder how much of that is hitting my head. And then after hearing what you said, Pete, I wonder how much of that is as well to just being at this certain point of this run where I feel everything kind of irritates me or bothers me. And a couple of days ago, there was a heavy rain that came in, and we were coming into a major center, Regina, Saskatchewan, the capital of Saskatchewan, and all the traffic, all the rush hour traffic. And you know, when it rains hard and all the vehicles are going by, it's so loud. And I was so irritated. I just was trying to put my hands over my ears, and I ended up just screaming and like, just stop it. I was so frustrated and angry with with the sound, but I wonder how much of that is just that overly irritable mental self where you've kind of had enough. Would you kind of agree, Pete? Is that where you were kind of at too?
Yeah, I think for me, I feel like you're spending so much energy. You're like, your body is spending so much energy taking care of your body, fixing those injuries, putting so much of that into your physical side that your mental side, you're kind of just a roller coaster, I think. Mm-hmm. And because I remember there were some times where like I was laughing, smiling and enjoying the day. And people were thinking like, how's this guy possibly running 70 miles a day?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's almost like you become even more mentally unstable when you do something. No. You're just, your body, you're so concentrated on taking care of your body that your mental side just kind of goes with the wind. You just kind of just lose control of your mental side, which yeah, it's a interesting place to be.
Well, I find that too, Pete, as well. Tell me if this kind of equates to where you're at, is that everything is heightened or diminished. Your highs are higher and your lows are lower. So when I'm happy, I'm the happiest person in the world. I'm laughing, I'm joking, I'm having the greatest time. When I'm sad and upset, I am so sad and upset. I feel too, like even with food, if something tastes good to me, I'm like, oh my God, that is the greatest cinnamon bun I've ever eaten in my life. And I can't get enough of it. And I have a half a beer at night because I love the taste of beer. And I don't want to have a full beer because I don't want to feel anything, but it's just even the flavor of that. It's so heightened right now. But if I tasted something I didn't like, I would just spit it out. I'm like, nope, I do not want that. Even things like, well, Joe, maybe this is going a little bit beyond with the podcast, but even a sex drive, right? Where it's like, it's so heightened and other things are completely dead, right? So you have these incredible swings. And I don't know, I think that's normal. Did you kind of feel that same thing when you run across America?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Every day. Yeah. It was like, and I'd be interested to see, get your thoughts on what your cruise outlook has been as well. But for me, I was lucky because I had a couple crew guys that were former military and they weren't going to put up with my, we'll call it bullshit. So I think that was really helpful for me personally to have them they were there the whole way. Just kind of seeing them in action and seeing them how detailed they were with everything, it made me kind of just be like, all right, I need to shape up a little bit. So that kind of was a good guardrail for me. And then just emotionally, I had Cinder, who I call her my running mom, who was at the RV and she cooked and drove the RV and did massages. So like that was another really big, like end of day, beginning of day, calming mechanism for me.
Oh yeah. Something very familiar, right?
Yeah.
I would jump in on one other point here. One thing, it depends on what you do in your life, but if you're very unique and do something that others don't do, it's hard to have others relate to how you feel. That's why the two of you talk for a long time. There's some roles that no one would understand if you explain. I think there might be some level of frustration that comes from that too, because a lot of what we have to do in life is to talk to each other and tell each other how we feel, but other people don't understand. And then they would give you the, well, then why don't you just stop kind of research is doesn't get back to understanding. And so do you guys think that sometimes because what you're doing is truly, I mean, like there's other stuff where we say it's unique, but there's a lot of people who do it, but multi-day running to try and break a record across a continent is very infrequent. I mean, there are years, no one's even, Pete, when did you break the record? What year was that?
2016.
So that's 6 years and no one's done that. And Dave, when was the record set for going across Canada?
Yeah, 1991.
91. So that's what, 30 years ago. So no one even attempts these activities because of the level. Do you think that adds to the difficulty because a lot of people don't understand?
Yeah, I think so. Like I personally believe that even Pete didn't quite know to begin with. Like he kind of learned, don't tell me if I'm wrong, Pete, but you kind of learned along the way. Within the first week, you're like, oh, okay, this is what this is. Because there's very, very few people that can speak about what you're doing specifically and have a sense of knowing. I find that most people I talk to in my life, them including even sometimes my crew who are here and witnessing this, they'll have certain comments where you're like, okay, I don't know if you really know what's going on because it's such a unique place to be where everything's so all-encompassing. But yet, on the other hand, I don't know about you, Pete, but I find myself trying to not get frustrated with the average person or family members or friends or loved ones who just don't seem to get it. Because how could they get it? How could they understand? I think the only person that could understand right now is me, you, Pete, and probably Michael Wardian.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, and like, and even for me, like, it's hard. It's not being in the moment of it. I feel like it's almost hard for me to relate to what you're doing right now, just because, like, you have to be there and like, be feeling what you're feeling. And it amazed me too. Like, I'd have running friends come out and run with me, and some of them, yeah, wouldn't get it. They'd be super high energy, think that, like, oh yeah, you have to be high energy too. And then I'd also have people that weren't running friends that were more understanding emotionally. So yeah, it's interesting how that works. So Dave, what has been like, what's been your, you've been doing almost the exact same mileage every day, about 105, 107, I think lately, kilometers. Yeah. You've been kind of upping it a little bit lately, which is mm-hmm. encouraging. Do you have a very set routine logistically as far as what you've been doing each day from the second you get up and start running to you're done for the day?
Absolutely. I think that my routine, and probably a lot of the same with you, Pete, is 99% exactly the same every day. And so I've got a very, very disciplined routine where I move it and bend it around a little bit depending on what's working and what's not working. And so I have crew members that we've flown out over 7 different sections of the country. And what they do is they buy into this whole, okay, Dave is a toddler. And at the end of days and at the beginning of days, we do everything. Like I lie there and I'm doing body care, and then I'm in my recovery boots and I'm eating food, and they know not to get offended when I say, oh, hey guys, can you grab me this? Or, oh, could you do this? And they're there to kind of look after all of those things that I really don't want to do. Like, I don't want to come in and it's something as simple as plugging in all my devices. But there's an incredible trust that I have in them that every single day it's all done. And I know they've got their checklist and they're doing all the things, because this is how they're showing up for me, right? So yep. Even during the day when I'm running, I start off my run and you kind of wince over the first half an hour to an hour. But every single day, what I find has worked for me is my crew vehicle drives ahead 20 kilometers. So that takes about 2 hours and 10 minutes to run. And then I come pulling up on the crew and they open the back and I get 2 new water bottles and I get new food, maybe some sunscreen, maybe some bug spray, whatever, maybe some mouthwash, whatever I need. And then I get out of there as quick as I can. 2 minutes, sometimes it's 10 minutes, depending on what I need. And then I'm out running on the road again. I'm eating from my vest of all the food I have. And so then I do another 20. Then I see my crew, and then there's another 10 crew, 10 crew, 10 crew, 10 crew, 10 crew, until my day is done at 100 kilometers. And so I find it's a routine that I can hang my hat on, and that I know is familiar, and I know that it works. My heart rate stays low enough. My effort level is reasonable. And I think if I right now I were to change it up, I would kind of feel a bit discombobulated, because my world has become very simple. And I rely upon those simplicities in order to kind of get through the day. I'll be honest with you, Pete, I'm kind of worried after I'm done about going out and doing things, grocery shopping and putting away the dishwasher. And like, my world has gotten so freaking simple. I remember putting away a dishwasher. I just kind of forget that kind of how to do it. So I'm going to have, it's going to be a bit of a shell shock, I think, after. So tell me about your days out there. Were you very systematic, or did you kind of play it by ear?
Oh yeah. We every day was exactly the same. I mm-hmm. almost had the exact same thing from having almost the exact same thing for breakfast every day to, yeah. Yeah, it was just, everything was very, like, at the end of the day, when I got done, I would go straight to shower, sit there, eat for about exactly 40 minutes, chat for maybe 10 minutes. And I don't know about you, Dave, but like, I had everyone doing these things, all the routine things. But then like, I was also like, it was just strange, because I was very I was almost a little bit of a control freak, to be honest.
Like, oh, I hear you. Sure. Okay, great.
I want, because I had a bad experience early in the run with not knowing the elevation profile, for example, on a really bad day through Yosemite. And so it's just like, I wanted to know all the details the next day. I wanted to, and like, I would like it was almost like I was quizzing people and like made sure they knew like, okay, what's the route tomorrow? Here's what we're going to do. And it was just a plan of attack. But I mean, it was, I don't know. I had a good time doing it, but I don't know if anyone else did.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. But you're completely so right, Pete. And what I've come to realize out here is that when you have very little control over what happens throughout the day, there could be this monster thunder shower that comes in and hails on me for the rest of the day. Like I'm out of control. I don't have that control. You take control of the things that you can control. And you're out here and you have all the time in the world to think about these things. And so it just becomes all you can think of. And so when it comes to telling crew exactly what you need and want, and I think the crew can either look at that and go, okay, he's being a demanding asshole, or he's on point and he knows exactly what he needs. And I think that 95% of people would think that we're being demanding assholes. They really do. Yeah. And I really commend all my crew for having the patience, because when it comes to having that control over that thing, it's got to be tough to kind of hold your tongue, especially when your crew members might feel that they're right or they are right, right? Because let's face it, like when you were running out there, Pete, your frontal lobe wasn't working fully functioning. Like mine isn't either. And yeah. So, but when I come in and say, okay, this is what I need. And even case in point as well too, like my brother, he ended up coming in and crewing me in between Ottawa and Thunder Bay. And that's a tough, tough section. That's Northern Ontario. And that's a lot of work. And my brother was having a real struggle crewing me. And because he saw me as his brother, right? He saw me as his brother who's just being bossy and controlling. And I told him, I said, Dan, I need you to see me as an elite athlete. I need you to see me as one of the world's best at doing this. And I know what I'm doing, right? But the kind of an inability to kind of see you for what you are in that moment, instead of seeing you as just being controlling. Because let's face it, Pete, in regular life, if you and I were just sitting on the sofa at home and you were kind of talking in that way, yeah, you're being a controlling jerk. But when yep. you're out here and you're out here doing this, it's no, I need to be definitive. I need to be direct. Somebody says, hey, do you want this? Nope. Do you want this? Yes. And I think it pays dividends out here.
Yeah. And to be honest, when I got done, like this is a terrible story, but when I got done in New York City, it was a hard transition back to being a person where it's not like, I'm not telling people what to do anymore. And I'm just a regular civilian walking down the street, like not like stop telling people what to do.
Oh, no question.
So yeah, I mean, thankfully, and for me, like it was probably good that like within a few days of finishing, I was back home and like back to my normal day to day, because that kind of snapped me out of it. But it's a weird experience. So Dave, when I ran across, I in both times I met so many good people that are actually some of my best friends today. Have you met, have there been people that you've met along the way that you have never met before that like have just made a huge difference on this run?
Oh, most definitely. There've been a lot of people from all over the country that have come out and run with me, or even just we meet at Airbnbs or hotels, and they're just the most lovely people. Yeah, they're just kind and caring and giving and very interested. The only frustration I would have is that they want to sit around and talk to you for half an hour about something, and they want to tell you stories, but you don't have a half an hour. I gotta get going, right? And so I wish that I had more time to stop and visit with these people, because you know, these people are kind of the best parts of the trip. But I also have to stay focused on my time allotment and just energy expenditure, and I need to go inside and go to sleep. I know I was listening to Scott Jurek's North, his audiobook, while I was running here, and he really had a struggle with that. Like, he's such a people person, and he ended up on the AT. He ended up talking and hanging out with people at a significant expense, but he really enjoyed that. But he also had to kind of pull back on the time that he was allotting for that. But you can't have everything all at the same time. Did you kind of find that a lot of people were kind of pulling you aside, wanting time, wanting conversation, where you were just like, hey, this is a speed record attempt. I don't have time.
Yeah, I was pretty good about, when I ran from San Francisco to New York, I was pretty good about upfront. I mean, and my crew was that too for me. They were kind of the gatekeepers saying, yeah, if you want to talk to Pete, you better run with him. And so
yeah.
that was a good way to force some people to do some marathon 50K sections with me. Wanted to hang out for 4 or 5 hours from Alaska to Florida. Whenever I stayed with people, I had to really be careful because, like, yeah, we would sit around for 4 hours at night, and I had a little bit more time on that run to socialize. But gosh, like, there was, it started to add up, and I was getting behind on my chores and planning and everything. So
a question I have for you guys, because when you do something at this frequency, the pacing, because both of you guys are pretty fast runners. You guys can run 240 marathon kind of speed. So that's fast.
Hey guys, Joe Gagnon, host of the Chasing Tomorrow podcast. And this episode is brought to you by 1UP Health. 1UP Health is a modern cloud data and interoperability platform that makes it easy to acquire, store, and share data between payers, providers, and patients. I hope you enjoy the episode.
And I know, Dave, you and I have talked about the pacing that you're doing. I think in our terms, it's a little bit less than a 10-minute mile. I don't know what your pacing was. How did you both feel about getting into a rhythm of going at these paces versus faster? And then afterwards, Pete, for you especially, what, hard to get back to running fast again or any of that stuff?
Yeah, for me, it was, and I'd be interested to see what Dave says, because Dave, you, when I look at your training, Dave, I was doing a lot of stuff in the eights to prep for the nines, but you're doing a lot of stuff in the sevens, a lot of seven something 50K training runs. So I'd be interested to see how it is for you. It wasn't that hard of a transition for me. The funny thing is, when I look back on videos when I was running, my stride was so short. Like, I don't know. I did love to hear how that's been for you, Dave, how your stride has changed. But I mean, I was taking, like, my stride went from, I don't know, 1500 steps per mile to 1900 steps per mile. Yeah. Almost like walking stride. But yeah, for me, that wasn't too bad of a transition. I would say coming back from after doing something like this, it was a long time before I was running fast again. But I think there were some other things that I wasn't doing recovery wise that probably hurt that, the fact that it probably took a year for me to get back to running fast again.
Yeah, how about absolutely. You, Dave? I've noticed, even in videos that I'm seeing, my stride is very, very short, just like yours. And I think I was, before in my training, I was taking 105 strides a minute. Now I'm taking 586. It's definitely shortened up. I'm taking, I forget what the stride length was, but it was so, so short. But it feels that that's what's right, kind of organically kind of fall into a stride pattern and a foot strike. I think that works for you. That becomes very primitive. And so, yeah, I know I was training a bit faster to run slower. But even in this year, in 2022 versus my run in 2018, I was running even faster back then. And I think one of the benefits that I had in my training going into 2022 was pulling it back even a slight bit further. Because running for now on day 50, when they say it's not a sprint, it's a marathon, well, what the hell do you call this then, right? It takes so much patience, right? And yeah. I think that I don't know if you could run slow enough in training. And what's really kind of cool too is I've got all these crew members that are coming out. And I know one of my crew members, Joel, right now, who's running right behind me, he typically runs faster than this. And by me kind of forcing him to slow down, he's able to get out more kilometers a day. And he's like, hey, this actually feels really quite good. So the slowing down your pace, but it's really tough to do when training with your ego and Strava and all those things. But I don't know, I really feel it pays dividends. And right now, I'm my pace. Right now, I'm looking at my watch and I'm averaging right now with 6 minutes, 6:01 per kilometer pace. So I think that's a 9:30 or so mile. And it feels very, very comfortable. It feels there are certain days that I'm at this point, I'm averaging 30 seconds slower or 10 seconds faster. But you kind of, Pete, I don't know how you feel, but you kind of take what you get that day. And if you're waking up and you feel okay because you got a good night's sleep, you kind of just take what you get. If you don't, then you, did you feel that some days were a little bit spicier than others?
Yeah, for me, I'm a terrible sleeper, actually, which isn't very conducive for this type of running. But yeah, there were some nights where I might only get like an hour or two of sleep. And yeah, it definitely drug on me. But it was funny because sometimes you just feel you're dragging so much, you're mixing in more walking. And then, like, you look back on the day and you're like, wow, that only took an extra half hour. So like, yeah, just like, and you said, mm-hmm. The patience part, just being patient, not getting overwhelmed. And because I think if you get overwhelmed mentally, then yeah, that's where you start taking those longer breaks. You start feeling low energy and things like that.
Yeah. So maybe, Pete, maybe a question I have for you too is was there ever any one time that you felt overwhelmed, either emotionally or mentally or physically? And kind of what were some of the tactics that you used to kind of get over it? Was it taking a break? Was it kind of reframing everything in your mind? Was it having a conversation with a close friend who could walk you through something? What were some of the examples of the low points? And then how did you kind of break through it?
Gosh, I didn't have too many low points, to be honest. I think maybe the two lowest were like when I actually took a 0 day, which really hurt the daily average. Mm-hmm. It was only day 7. I don't know. Like, I think you just have to know how much you put into this. And you're just like, mm-hmm. Well, if I got to take a day off, I'm just going to make the most of it, get a relax, rest, get mm-hmm. all carb, get everything lined back up. I mean, for me, when I was in Pennsylvania towards the end, it was very hilly, very windy, very scary roads running on. And I think that was mm-hmm. starting to shatter me mentally. But I think at that point, you just have to be on it, like just let it all out with your crew. They're there to support you physically, but also mentally. Uh-huh. And so like, I was just very, like every time I saw my crew every few miles, I'd just be like, this effing sucks. just like let it out. Like, don't keep it in. Or like, if you're having, like, I just remember for me, like I would think back, I would think on like the people, and I have another question for you kind of related to this, but I would think of the people I'm about to see. And like, I mean, there were some pretty emotional mm-hmm. times out on the road, and I would save those for when I was away from the crew, when I was about with it beyond sight. But yeah, just let it out. That's the best mm-hmm. way to cope with it. So Dave, you're from near Calgary. Are you running? Yeah. I'm curious, coming up, getting closer, are you going to run through Calgary here soon?
I'm going to run right through the center of Calgary. The Trans-Canada Highway is really called in Calgary Highway 16. And yeah, it runs probably about, I don't know, 4 miles, 3 miles north of all the skyscrapers in Calgary. So it's a very familiar city. I grew up just south of Calgary. Basically, Calgary is my hometown. And I've got all my friends, my colleagues. I think a lot of people are going to show up. Granted, it's going to be 5 o'clock in the morning as I come running through. So who knows? Yeah. People are going to show up, but 5 o'clock in the morning is 5 o'clock in the morning. But coming into it, there's kind of a bit of a really emotional moment, or a group of a whole week of a lot of things that will be happening here very soon. My biggest thing is tomorrow, my girlfriend is going to come back on, she's driving out to Medicine Hat. And I've been desperately missing her. And it's going to be so amazing to reconnect with her, because she's going to kind of take over for Joel and Mike, because they're going to jump off 3 days after that. A couple days after that, the following day, is my best friend, John Hubbard, is going to come out with his wife, and he's going to run a large portion of the next 2 days. And so I get to see kind of my old familiar friend. And we get to talk about all of the intimacies that sometimes you have a hard time talking to other people about. The next night is I don't want to get too emotional on the podcast.
That is awesome.
I haven't seen my children. I've been talking to them every day, and they're growing freaking weeds, and I haven't seen them in over 2 months.
Gosh,
and I can't wait to hold them.
Yep.
And that's the biggest thing on my mind right now is just they're going to meet me at the hotel. I'm going to start an hour earlier, maybe even more, because I want to have a pizza party with them, and I want to hold them, and I want to cuddle with them, and I want to kiss them, and I want to ask them about their summer so far and life. And I don't know, I just want to look into their eyes, and they mean so, so much to me. And this is probably my biggest struggle out here. And then further from that, running into Calgary and running through a familiar territory, it's almost this big, right, where you're like, okay, I know I've had a lot of doubters, and I know when people have said, Dave can't do it. Well, I'm going to break the Trans-Canadian speed record now, and there's no question in my mind by 5 days. And this is kind of the last big city as I run through there all the way to Victoria. And I'm going to see a lot of familiar faces, a lot of colleagues, a lot of friends and family, and what a beautiful moment. So I think you're right, Pete. There's a very emotional period coming up, But then I've got to hunker down again because I've still got many, many, many days, well over a week, to get to Victoria.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's so awesome. And that was what it was for me, you know, and I'm so glad that you're going east to west to have that later on, because I was thinking about, like, Kendra, it's so funny how we always seem to run right through something meaningful on these runs, even though it's we don't really plan it that way. It's just part of the route. Oh, Sandra Valines, she ran the same route I ran for the women's record a year after me.
Right.
And she ran through her hometown on day two. And I just have no idea how she was able to go the next 50 plus days, you know, further and further away from home. For me, I ran right three towns I had lived in. I literally had lunch at my house in Lincoln, Nebraska. And that was the last time I ever was at that house. The for sale sign went away that same day. And so, yeah, you're just going to, I mean, it's just, it was such a boost because I was 2/3 of the way through my run was when I ran through where I grew up, a few towns. And yeah, I'm just so excited for you because it's going to be such a boost to you to get through that last part. So yeah, I mean, you're going to have to hunker down afterwards, but it's going to carry you the rest of the way.
I think it will. And I guess another question I have for you, Pete, because I'm kind of feeling a little bit of that right now, where did you have a lot of naysayers? Did you have a lot of people online that were doubting you, that were saying that you were cheating, that were questioning your effort? I don't know. Did you have a lot of trolls?
Oh, yeah.
Getting through and kind of getting to you, kind of gnaws away at your soul. Because I don't know how you feel, but for me, when someone questions my integrity, you can just go right to hell.
Yeah.
I get very, very defensive about that. And so did you have that same thing too, where people were questioning your integrity or trying to get under your skin, and they did?
Yeah, absolutely. And Dave, I would, that the naysayers are always going to be the loudest person in the room, so you're going to hear them 100 times louder than the people that believe in you. So yeah, it's, there are, when I took a day off on day 7, there were a lot of people that said, oh, Pete can put all the training miles he wants in, but he's a young and dumb 29-year-old, he'll never get this record. And so, yeah, I use it as fuel. And so, like, when you're asking, how did you get up the next day? Well, that was somehow in the middle of the desert, I got word of a few of those people. So just use it as, there are people that have cheated. And I think that's what kind of, and I think that's what a lot of these trolls are. They're people that want to be the person that comes out with the next story about a cheater. Even, and Mimi Anderson got it really bad, because we followed after Robert Young, who is a very notorious cheater, who everybody that ran across the U.S. after Robert Young, there were all these conspiracy theorists that would say that the next person's also cheating. So they're going to be out there no matter if you're Meb Keflezighi going for the record across America, there's going to be people that are out there no matter what, thinking that the Jane Benfers, that, and they just want their voice. They just want to become internet famous for breaking some conspiracy. So right. Yeah, it's unfortunate, but is this feeling?
Yeah, I find it kind of interesting. The moments that you're most irritable out here, how you're saying, Pete, when you're somebody cuts you off in traffic and you're like, oh, and you're just so irritated, you're so frustrated, is also the moments when those people come out or those magazines come out and they're like, well, what about this? And what about this? And what about this? And you're like, you just get so irritated. And it's hard to kind of talk that down and go, okay, I'm going to use that as fuel, or I'm just going to pity that group of people, or just even to simply say, well, I know what I'm doing, and I don't need to take the very limited time out of my evening to go prove it to anybody right now by putting out all this information. And the information will be there at the end, everybody. Relax.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Dave, and I think that there's nothing that, unfortunately, for us, the way our system works, we do allow some of these externalities to bother us, right? Because we feel that there should be some kind of harmony in the universe. And often there isn't the harmony that we would like. And you always told me early on about the Stoics, worry about what you can control, not what you can't control. And
exactly.
The matter is that what you're doing, it sort of doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. And the community of people who support and believe in what you're doing is one of the most extraordinary physical feats of all time. And we can say that these others are weak and insecure kinds of people, which is why they attack, because they feel so bad about themselves. This is the only way they can get power, is by trying to attack people. And generally, what we do is just try and just don't give them any air. It's really not, because we could do that over and over again. And the whole thing that you and Pete have been doing all these years is this, it would be a mathematical equation really at the end of the day. It's a pure optimization exercise. You have to try and get beyond what the system is capable of doing. You guys do that mentally, physically, systems, all of that. And when we let any of that energy be towards these people, we're losing some of our potential energy to do what you're out there doing. So they're all the ones who we do feel sad about because their life is really not that great if that's indeed what they're doing. And so for our listeners, Dave's got a Garmin that we're tracking him. He's got Ghost Watch, which tracks. He's got it on Strava. He's got video documentation. He's got witnesses every day. You couldn't actually build a stronger team what you're doing. In addition to, we documented this all along the way. So yeah, sad that that has to happen. A lot of the other sort of tragedies that are happening, but we'll try and stay away from those. As we sort of wrap up, I don't know, we might end up needing to get Pete back on here and get him up early again one of these days soon.
Yes.
The next few days and then leading up, I think, Dave, it would be fun to hear some more about what happens as you pass through Calgary. You got the mountains ahead of you, which is another part of this. Got to go over the Rocky and hopefully it's sort of sliding your way back through British Columbia downhill. You know, I guess the only thing that I just sort of curious about this number of days left, both to you and Pete, as it starts to come towards the end, how do the feelings change? Of course, you want to get to the end, but is this feeling of like, wow, this is going to be over before I realize it. And that's sort of it's a blessing at one level. And another level, it's like, I don't know. How did it feel sort of towards the, and then we'll ask Dave the same thing.
Gosh, well, Dave, you're not going to hear this, but the reason I ran from Alaska to Florida was because I wanted to count up instead of down. So, I mean, I remember when I got about to the point where you are, I was about 10 days out. I remember telling my friend, Brad, I was like, I just did the math, Brad. I'm going to finish on this October 24th in the afternoon. And sure enough, I finished at 5:30 on October 24th. And so it was kind of scary how I basically predicted my finish time over a week and a half out. It wasn't I was sandbagging at all. I was just, that was what it ended up being. And like, and that's the thing with these record attempts. I mean, you think that you're counting up and you're not counting down, but I know you gotta be counting down and looking forward to that finish. And I mean, there are elements of nostalgia that I'll say that I'm sure you'll feel the day after you finish, but yeah, it's just, it's a countdown process.
Yeah. And I think for me personally, like one of the things that's really, really worked for me out here is kind of the concept of non-striving, where I've done my very, very best of not thinking about getting to somewhere or even the crew vehicle being up ahead and another 10 kilometers away from where I am right now. So I'm not trying to get there. I'm just trying to be here, you know, try less and just be more, right? So be present in the moment and be within yourself when it comes to your pace and eat your food and do all the necessary things. And the more often that we're currently present, the more often that we're going to get there and achieve what we want to achieve. And so kind of the non-striving principles really, really work for me. But I'm finding it harder and harder the further I get along here. Because soon enough, I'm going to see those Canadian Rockies. And there's going to be so many messages that I know are to a point that I know that I'm done. I know that this is going to come to a finale here soon. And so I'm going to have to work harder to kind of stay present in this moment, which is going to be really hard. And I also know that there will be probably points in the next little bit that I'm going to feel, okay, I'm okay with this being done. I'm pretty happy fantasizing about staying in bed and drinking coffee or eating a salad or doing things that I love doing before. But then on the other hand, I know that within, let's say, my second last day out here, I'm probably not going to want this to end. I've never felt as powerful and capable and strong, and I've never felt as good as I feel when I'm in control out here. And it's going to be a struggle because I don't know if I'll ever feel this good again. And so it's one of those dualities, I think. I'm going to want to get this thing done, but I'm also going to want for it to never end.
Well, you know, I think if we can keep this community alive, Dave, we'll keep finding reason and purpose for all of us to put our best effort out there, which is what you've done, Pete's done, many of us continue to work towards. and let's keep carrying this message forward. I think I calculated you're going to have run something 800 hours across this. So maybe this 1 hour was one of the free ones because it went by in a flash. Yeah. I think we're going to ask Pete to come back on at least one more time before the end. Hang out again together, because that's what it feels to me. Pete, the funny part is that he was running the whole time we were doing this and sitting here.
This is amazing. Dude, I don't think I ever did a podcast already.
Oh my
God. That's funny.
Dave, real quick, just because it was we just passed Canada Day and 4th of July. You probably didn't see it. I posted a photo of you and me from Belfast in 2017. You were wearing of course, your Canada single, and I was wearing the USA single, that 24-hour race there. And it's a funny because it's a photo of you turning over towards me and then me looking straight forward. And I'm sure you were asking me a question about running across the continent. And it's just funny because the look on my face is this poor sucker doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, God. And you do know that there's going to be another photograph one day of somebody turning their head towards me. And I'm looking out thinking, this guy has no idea. Absolutely. Oh, God. But Pete, I want to thank you for all the inspiration, all the strength and everything that you give. I don't think at times, I don't think that you quite know what you give and what you put forward and how so many people, myself, want to strive in order to find just even a fraction of the strength that you have. And so thank you for inspiring me.
Well, thank you, Dave. You're definitely paying it back right now, because for me, I'm just kind of getting a love back for running. And so to follow you right now has just been awesome. To get on and look at where you're at each morning has just been huge for me. So you're definitely paying it back, buddy.
All right. Well, awesome. I'm just happy to be along for the ride. Dave, good luck finishing up today. We'll be in touch. This will get out tomorrow on the wire, and we'll coordinate for next week. Stay safe.
Excellent. Yeah, thanks, guys.
Wow, guys. Thanks for that amazing discussion. I truly enjoyed listening to the two of you in real time, chatting it up and getting into the inner perspective of what it's to run a transcon. I'm so honored to be connected with both of you. I look forward to our next discussion. Dave, keep running, man. And Pete, thanks for being such a great friend of the Chasing Tomorrow podcast. There you have it. Another amazing episode brought to you by our sponsor, Performance Tea. You got to have some of their endurance electrolyte blend. It's what Dave's been using every day. 10 servings a day. He still loves the flavor after 54 days. You can find it on www.com. Use RUN30 to get 30% off at checkout. Thanks for coming with us on this run across Canada and chasing tomorrow with us. Talk to you soon.